When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record. Well, I'm trying for daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And what do I got for you today? Well, today I'd like to propose an exercise for thinking a little bit more deeply about writing and about characters. Because we are all writers if we are independent cartoonists. We write with pictures, yes. So it's fair to say that we are writers, even if a quote-unquote comics writer might dispute that. But going back to an earlier Thunder Punch Daily where I was talking a little bit about some of my nerdy fascinations with cartoons and with specific cartoons, namely the Transformers. Yes, I'm going to talk about the Transformers just a little bit, but only to back up my point. The exercise is this. Take a television series that you enjoy, preferably a serialized one, and preferably one where there is a host of writers on board, not just one writer, not just a lead writer followed by a bunch of support writers, but where each episode is written by a different writer. And take a character that you find very interesting on that television show and see if you can spot some inconsistent character traits being expressed in that character, and ask yourself, does this suggest something about the character that is not absolutely apparent in the context of the show? In other words, I'm asking you guys to play around a little bit with fan fiction. Yes, the dreaded fan fiction. However, I do think that fan fiction, or, you know, wondering in just in your mind, not writing it down, but just wondering a little bit about the fan fictions that you would write, is a great exercise to get you thinking more deeply about story and about characters. It achieves two purposes. And the reason I say a TV series where there's a host of writers and not just one writer is because in the case where there's usually a head writer or lead writer and a bunch of support staff supporting the writing that's going on, is there tends to be more of a vision and the characters tend to be more consistent overall. You don't have those opportunities for little weird inconsistencies, little weird idiosyncrasies popping up in a specific episode. When you have a lot of different writers, each writer is going to bring their own sort of take on one of the characters, or all of the characters in a lot of cases. And that opens up the opportunity for you to say, why? Why did that character say that just then? Is there something going on here that is not being made apparent in the overall body of the story? Now, the reason I use the word fan fiction is because it's an important thing to make a distinction here, is that this is not doing necessarily writing that you're going to be able to publish, writing that you're going to, you know, put out for the ages. It's not going to be the great American novel. However, quick note, I think I said this recently on one of the Art and Stories, is I don't think anybody goes in to write the great American novel saying, I'm going to write the great American novel. They're just doing what's interesting to them, and it just turns out that they wrote the great American novel. Anyway, sorry about that. I'm starting to build up a little bit of speed there. Why do this? Well, it's ultimately nothing publishable, but it is an exercise in getting you to think about writing. I've said many times in past Art and Stories and in some of these Thunder Punch Dailies that my postgraduate course in writing was a combination of working with Tom Root on the PPB miniseries, and he is a world-class writer, and I learned a lot from him. But I learned an equal amount by just being fascinated by nerdy things and talking about them for the sheer pleasure of talking about them. I've said before, I talk every week on the phone to my best buddy, Hoover. And Hoover is not a comics creator. He's just a guy who loves a lot of the same stuff that I do. And for the past 16 years, we have talked almost every week, and the majority of what we talk about is cartoons that we enjoy. We'll be revisiting, Jason the Wheeled Warriors that week, and we'll be talking a little bit about, oh, wasn't this part cool? Wasn't that part cool? And for a substantial amount of years, and this is like in 2001, 2002, when I was working on PPV with Tom Root, Hoover and I would spend hours talking about the character of Starscream from the Transformer series, from the Gen 1 Transformer series, and later on in Beast Wars. Yes, he does show up in Beast Wars, and it was a big nerdy thrill for all of us old TF fans. But the reason we got so much mileage on talking about him is because, one, the writing on the show, I will be the first to admit, as much as I love the Transformers, the original show's writing was not all that great. And what's more, it was really inconsistent. There were some episodes that were fantastic, and there were some episodes that really kind of stank, and it really felt like it was a writer kind of writing to children rather than writing something that thrilled the writer and writing it in a style that was accessible to children. There's a distinction there. There was episodes like Hoist Goes Hollywood, where Hoist and a bunch of the Autobots become actors on a Hollywood stage, and they get bitten by the Hollywood bug, and they all want to be part of the act, and then the Decepticons attack, and there's this whole B story, and then it leads to a fight and everything, but it ultimately is kind of a throwaway episode. It's not very, it doesn't demand rewatching except for a few little gags here and there. And then there's really brilliant episodes like The Burden Hardest to Bear, the final season 3 episode, where they really explored something interesting with the character of Rodimus Prime, who I still maintain, as a subnote, is one of the most interesting characters in the Transformers mythos, and he was a lost opportunity in that they brought back Optimus Prime. But that's neither here nor there. See, this is the kind of nerdy stuff I talk about with Hoover. But why do we talk about Starscream so much? Well, because when those of you who are familiar with the Transformers franchise will know that Starscream was known as the greatest traitor of all. He was always trying to usurp Megatron's authority. Every time Megatron fell down, you know, Starscream would say, "Oh, Megatron's laying on the ground. I'm the new leader. Decepticons, follow me." He was always looking for an opportunity for power. And even after his death in Transformers the movie, his ghost even kept coming back to try to get more power. In Beast Wars, it was his ghost that came back to try to get more power and take things over, run the show. He's pure ego. He thinks he's the greatest guy in the room. And unfortunately, he's also a coward, and he's the first to beat a hasty retreat when the chips are down. However, there's a handful of episodes where the writers either didn't know how to handle him properly, or they were trying to bring something new to the character. I don't know. I haven't talked to them. But there's episodes where Megatron calls the retreat and Starscream gets peeved at him and says, "A Decepticon never retreats." And there's episodes where it's hinted at in the dialogue, or at least you can infer from the dialogue, that one of the reasons Starscream dislikes Megatron so much is because he thinks Megatron has betrayed the cause. That Megatron is the egotist and Starscream is the Decepticon loyalist. Starscream's loyal to the cause first, and he thinks he's the best man to speak to the cause. He's the most loyal to the cause, and Megatron, because Megatron uses language all the time, like, "If I can't have it, nobody will," and he blows the thing up. You know, whatever the prize that episode that he wanted to capture. The Autobots get it, so Megatron destroys it because if he can't have it, nobody can. In other words, most of Megatron's dialogue was aimed at pointing out how he was ultimately selfish and he loved having the power that he had. And because of these few little snippets of dialogue that were just a little inconsistent in Starscream's character, you could infer that perhaps a lot of this power mongering on his part was more to gain control of the army so that he can properly execute their cause. Now, what did I do there? I dug deep into a character and I looked for a hidden sophistication in the character that is not immediately apparent. We look at him, we see power monger, we see coward. But what if there's more going on there? And what kind of cues can we inject in the dialogue to suggest that in a very subtle way so that those with an attentive eye will catch it? And this is the kind of thinking that you do when you want to start laying some groundwork for hints for reveals later on. So in other words, if I was in charge of the Transformers franchise, which I never will be, and I don't think I want to be, because I think I wouldn't enjoy it as much, I could make that a season 4 reveal. Is that after all this time, we'd go back into this huge flashback and reinvestigate all these moments with Starscream to show that from his point of view, he was being a hero. And he wasn't just doing it because it wasn't for self-aggrandizement. It was for the aggrandizement of the Decepticon cause. And then the reader, the viewer, the participant in the story would say, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even catch it." But when you go back and look at all the hints, it was all there. So that's one of the things that I was accomplishing besides wasting my time. Maybe a grown-up would say that. I was wasting my time just coming up with fan fiction sort of subplots. But Yeah, am I going to use this story? No, but it taught me about how to investigate characters into looking for unexpected traits and learning how to lay the seed for unexpected traits later on in my own stories. Now, obviously, I don't do this in the Sugary Cereal stuff, but there are some things that I intentionally put in certain little dialogue tricks in the front for when I get to the second story arc, God willing, where those things will be more fully explored and it won't seem like such an out of left field line. It also teaches us, to go back to what I was saying at the top, a little bit about story, because you're analyzing the character dynamics between characters and you're examining what their motivations are and how that ultimately affects the plot. Because Starscream was ultimately ineffectual, no matter how dedicated he was to the cause, it was always left in Megatron's hands, and then the plans were always left in Megatron's hands, and things would get bungled and Megatron would scream retreat and they would all fly away. By looking at character dynamic and looking at the way these characters bounce off of each other and asking yourself why, what's really going on behind the scenes, you're getting a deeper sense of how to express story idea through character interactions, which is one of the fundamental best ways to explore plot in a visual narrative. One of the best ways, not the best way, but one of them. So there's the backup. My big point here is that I think it would be useful to all of us to embrace our nerdiness when it comes to a particular TV series or movies or whatever it is. Movies, you know, I guess you could do it with movies, but I think it becomes a lot more of a fun activity with serialized television storytelling, just for the reasons that I cited about that inconsistency of the writing. And I think you could do it with a sitcom. I think you could do it with anything. And then if you have an art buddy or a fellow enthusiast of that television series, get on the phone with them, talk with them about it, and just out of having this sheer pleasurable talk about how much you love something, you're really doing a deep investigation into what makes story tick. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the other shows like Kevin Cross's High Adventure Daily, Mark Rudolph's Mark of the Beast, the forums, the videos. All this great stuff at Art and Story Supreme, and there's more to come, I promise. And this is where I have to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your support in this endeavor. We couldn't do this without you. And I also am grateful for the positive response I've been getting on some of these Thunder Punches lately. You guys know better than anybody, as cartoonists, how hard it is to put the work into the work, you know, how much work we put into what we do. And we don't always get a round of applause at every turn. And that's, for better or worse, that's the way it is. And when you get that little pat in the back, you know how good that feels. You know how much your day brightens as a result of that. And you hang on to that for days and days on end. When I get a good comment on the show or a nice email from somebody thanking me for the show that they paid for, I hang on to that email like gold, and I read it 10 or 15, 20 times because it is an enormous reassurance to me that I'm not just flapping my gums into the wind here. You know, it's good to know that this stuff is being, relatively speaking, well received. So thanks a lot, guys, for your support and for the encouragement. It means the world to me. So, okay, I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
Orko certainly helped us out in today's adventure, and he learned a good lesson, too. He made a promise to the Ice Lord he thought he could break, but Adam showed him you shouldn't make a promise knowing you're not going to keep it. People judge you by many things, your appearance, your honesty, the way you act. Those things show your character. When you make a promise and don't keep it, it shows bad character. So always think before you speak and mean what you say. That way what you say will be respected. See you again soon.